everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? Today's date is October 4th, 2017, and this is episode number 79. My name's Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I'm joined by, I'm joined by Russ and Kent. So how are you guys doing?
Not bad. Not bad at all, Kent.
Well, I mean, now that we know that the tyrant that hosts this show is not a fan of nacho cheese Doritos, I'm kind of doing this podcast under protest. Just throwing that out there.
Hey, I'm sorry if you disagree with me that nacho cheese, Cool Ranch Doritos are better.
Can we at least have a conversation, or does it always have to be your way?
I know, right? She automatically,
can we just start a dialogue?
Yeah, she automatically goes right to it.
I did not say it had to be my way. Cool Ranch Doritos are just cooler.
I just want to say that if in a blind taste test, 9 out of 10 people who like nacho cheese would choose nacho cheese before Cool Ranch. All right?
That's a very valid point, Russ made. What you got?
All I know is most of my teenage years basically subsisted on Cool Ranch Doritos, so I will always be loyal to them.
I will say this.
They got me through some fun times.
I will say this. I hated going over to someone's house, and the chip choice was Cool Ranch Doritos. I was so mad. Nacho cheese is the way to go.
I intentionally would pop a bag, like, just Hulk smash that shit right in their face, be like, yeah, what's up now? Go buy me some nacho cheese, bitch.
All right, I guess to each their own. And with that said, just in case you were curious, listen, for our first-time listeners, we actually do talk about and recap the week in the WWE, and we also have a few fun wrestling-related segments for you as well. And on this week's episode, we're going to cover Raw and also preview this weekend's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and also discuss last night's Go Home SmackDown show.
Did you just say pay-per-view? Because if you did, that's awesome.
And more accurate, because we're praying it doesn't suck.
Pay-per-view is so much funnier.
Yes.
MC Hammer would be so happy with you right now.
You do have to pray to make it today.
I say we pray.
All right. Before we get started with our usual weekly discussion, let's kick things off with Kent's moment of bliss while I find my words.
So, my moment of bliss is more than just one moment this week. It's a multitude of moments. It is a moment today where I found that my leather jacket order was not going to go through, so I went and I searched vigorously on the internet, and I found myself a leather vest, which is just cooler for a fat guy anyways, because let's face it, I'm going to sweat in whatever the hell I'm wearing anyways. So now it's just a matter of getting some, you know, MC logos and getting them stitched on and starting my own biker gang. It'll be a good time. Secondly, my other moment of bliss came when Elias Samson came out this week and started playing a song that I was like, I know this song. Those aren't the words. And then I realized they were Alice in Chains. Well, mainly Corey Graves said something about Layne Staley. I was like, yeah, okay. And then I figured out it was Nutshell. And then I realized, what a morbid song to freaking parody by Elias Samson. He did well with it, but when the second part of the song says, my gift of self is raped, my privacy is raked, and yet I find, repeating in my head, if I can't be my own, I'd feel better dead. And I say, kudos to you, Elias. You know no limits. Chris Benoit is smiling down upon you, sir. And that was my moment of bliss.
All right, fair enough. As I said in the blog at 90s.com/wrestling, I could not figure out for the life of me what song that was or who sang it. I racked my brain for a good 10 minutes.
I actually paused the episode so I could figure it out because it was really bothering me.
Well, the sad thing is I've actually seen Alice in Chains in concert. They opened last year for Guns N' Roses when they played at FedEx Field.
How did this sound?
They sounded really good. The lead singer that they got for the band sounds really close.
Good for them, man.
I'm more interested in Guns N' Roses. How did they sound?
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
I'm also interested, like, didn't they have a new album come out not that long ago? Maybe it's been a long time since now, but didn't they come out with an album not too long ago, like Chinese Democracy? I haven't heard a single song from that radio.
And
from that.
You never will.
Why not? I'm curious. I never heard it. What happened?
I think, like, I don't even think he even played the title track from that. He didn't even play Chinese Democracy as part of the things. He played basically the old catalog from the original band.
So they played what the fans wanted to hear.
Yes, they did what the WWE doesn't do.
So they played Taking Care of Business, basically.
Get to the working overtime part.
Get to the working overtime part.
No. All right, guys. Enough. Let's talk Raw. And since it's October and we have a theme on 90s.com this month, let's talk the segment with Bray, Finn Balor, and possible hint of Sister Abigail. Kent, I know you're dying to talk about this because this is completely your wheelhouse, so go ahead, talk to us about it.
Well, quite frankly, I didn't really know what I was seeing, and yeah, I was giggling so much that it didn't matter. I was in pure glee over the sight of this ridiculousness. I'm like, yeah, you take that WrestleMania match, okay? This is way cooler. Whatever bullshit they're doing right now, they're making Bray Wyatt possibly into a fat transvestite. I don't know. That's also a sister. And I could not be more excited because now we're going to have a match where we have Bray Wyatt cross-dressing as his dead sister against the demon. And I'm still led to believe that Finn's going to win this. No. Finn can't win this. You can't beat Bray Abigail cross-dresser. No. So I was so excited. I gotta say, Bray's first promo was really good. It sounded rambling, but there was a lot of sense to it. And then he carried it over into his second promo. The very beginning of, like, the first 10 seconds of the second promo was reiteration of the first promo. Continuity. I'm shocked. It worked really well for Bray Wyatt, especially in this feud of mediocrity. Yeah, they finally got me interested. I'd lost all interest after the acid incident. So, good for them.
So, do you think we're going to see Sister Abigail sooner rather than later?
Yeah, we're going to see Bray dressed as Sister Abigail. We're not getting a woman. We're getting Bray as Sister Abigail.
We are. Like, we are.
Yeah.
We're 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, like, they're just like, well, we can't get Daphne, and we can't get Rosemary, and everybody knows who Paige is, and a lot of people know who Ruby Riott is. Ruby Riott could have done
really
okay.
Good. Yeah, she wasn't good.
But no, we're just going to get Bray dressed up as a female. It's going to be one of the worst gimmicks since House of Whores.
I don't think so. This is fantastic.
This is everything that's right and wrong with the wrestling industry as a whole.
Yes. I'll say this. Kudos to WWE because they took... This was the long term. You have to realize that this is their long term. And none of us knew it because we were all ticked off. And if you knew that Sister Abigail was going to come out because of this, you would have been delighted in glee if you knew it was coming to this. None of us saw this coming. And they did it really well. They did good progression. They started with Finn versus, or the demon Balor versus Bray. Bray couldn't beat him. So what does Bray do? He comes out immediately afterwards and he goes and tries to claim that there is no demon. You're just Finn. I want to fight Finn, not Bray. Finn wins. Now we know why Finn won. Because at that point, we're all like, "Why? What's the point of having Finn win this? It's stupid." Now we know why Finn won. Because now we're going to get Bray, Sister Abigail. And he's gonna, if he does not win the next match, I'm hoping Finn doesn't go demon the next match. Let Bray's sister Abigail win the next match against Finn, because Finn doesn't, you know, he doesn't need the demon, whatever.
So you want to drag this out for 2 months?
Yes, even more. No, even more. Ready? I'm going to go up through December, because next month will be November, which is Survivor Series. Let's talk Wyatt Family versus Bullet Club for some Survivor Series goodness. And then in December, we have Demon Baylor versus Sister Abigail Bray. And then it ends, because I don't want it to go into Royal Rumble. But sure. Kudos to WWE. Nobody saw this as a long-term, like, this was going to be the way they're going. So,
am I still wrong in sticking on this one issue where they shouldn't have had... The last pay-per-view outcome should have been a little different, because that, or they should have never had the Raw match, I guess. They should have never had Bray pin Finn cleanly.
Cleanly along, yes, they should have never.
Because that ruins everything else. If you take away that match, the story actually goes somewhere.
Yep.
But that's long been my sticking point, is they had that one stupid outcome they shouldn't have had.
Right before SummerSlam, they had Finn cleanly get pinned by Bray. You're right, it ruined that, because it ruined last pay-per-view. I agree.
But we did get acid.
We did get acid.
Will Sister Abigail have different theme music? And is that why Bray is bulking up so he can have a larger cup size?
He does look bigger, doesn't he? Like,
he's getting festively plump.
Yes,
as
my goodness.
Late.
When he was sitting down in that chair, rocking back and forth, I'm like, oh my god, he is... Really,
yet he let his WrestleMania shape go straight to shit.
Yes,
wow.
I think whatever weight Kevin Owens has lost recently, I think Bray Wyatt's found it.
No, I think Connor found it, and he left some of it on the side, and Bray took
it. I think Connor is calling Bray a fat ass at the moment. That's when you know you're at a downside.
That is true.
Well, in Connor's defense, wasn't his weight gain just sympathy weight?
Well, that's what we're saying.
Well, Bray could be knocking up JoJo. We don't know this for fact. Or depending on, I don't know where JoJo's from. If she's from the South, and we know Bray's from the South, some of that Southern cooking can add some pounds. I mean, that's why I'm so fat.
Yes, definitely. All that Southern cooking that you eat.
Yeah.
Which consists of Southern pizza, right?
Hey, I go to Popeye's twice a year.
All right. So, guys, I have to say I rewatched this segment on my way home tonight. And it impressed me, and it actually intrigued me to the point where I know I said this in, I think, last week's blog, where if I see Finn or Bray on my TV, I turn it off. Now I'm not going to turn it off anymore, so that's a good thing. But I have to ask you guys a question, though. Were you entertained by this segment? Russ.
Okay, was I entertained? This was a tough one, because I watched it, and as I was watching it, I was bored at first, not going to lie, because I didn't know. I knew Sister Abigail was only coming because I watched it after everybody had already said something. So I knew she was coming. So I was kind of bored at this point. Bray, or Finn, is not the best... Mike guy, okay? Bray came on. He was rambling. He was doing Bray things. But then when he started talking about Sister Abigail and how she was going to be coming, I was like, okay, what, this is it. What's happening? And then the transition from Bray to Sister Abigail. I was laughing so hard. I'm just imagining it. It was so stupid, in the best way possible, too, though. So, yes, at the end of the day, I was entertained solely because it was just so stupid. I couldn't stop laughing.
I, too, was entertained by it. How about you, Kent?
Well, I mean, this being October and all, and being in the midst of my mindfuckery, which is 100 horror films in October, I want to compare this to a horror film that I just recently rewatched. It's a guilty pleasure if there ever was one. It was the 2005 film House of Wax, starring Elijah Cuthbert and Paris Hilton. Now, that film took all kinds of scrutiny when it came out. But the fact remains, they gave you what you wanted with Paris Hilton in her underwear and Paris Hilton getting the worst death out of everybody. But not only that, the twists and turns, much like the storyline in WWE, is compelling, where we think the one brother's the good brother and the other one's the evil one. Oh no, we see the little marks on his wrist and we find out, oh, normal guy's the evil one and otherwise. And then at the end, we're like, holy shit, there was a third brother all along. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is Bray versus Finn in a film in 2005 called House of Wax. Maybe. Yes, I am entertained.
I was going to say, maybe, just maybe, this is House of Horrors too.
Oh my God, could they make that movie? And could Paris Hilton be in it?
Yes, I think they can get Paris Hilton now.
She got ripped
apart.
She's
really toned down her whole self now.
Well, she doesn't need to do anything anymore. She's got her money and she's got her fame.
She's always had her money and fame, though. She never had to do an ounce of things other than be videotaped in night vision. Which, they parodied that in the movie, by the way, which was hilarious, too. Kudos to her. She belongs in the Hall of Fame. The WWE Hall of Fame.
The WWE.
Speaking of things that belong in the Hall of Fame, maybe. Did we, guys, refresh my memory, But did we possibly see a S.H.I.E.L.D. reunion on Raw this week? Russ?
I don't think there's a thought about it. Yes. It's definitely... I mean, this is something they've been aiming for this for what? For the last week and a half now? So it's definitely a S.H.I.E.L.D.
reunion. Wait. Can we be honest here for a moment? I don't mean to cut you off. They've been aiming for this since Dean Ambrose got drafted over to Raw. Anybody that does not see this...
I was going to say, they've been aiming for this since they broke them up. Let's face it. But yes, you're right. Since Dean got sent over to Raw, I think Kent's right. But they've been really steamrolling it in our face for the last week and a half. So it's definitely coming. I'm just curious, because now I don't know, is it going to be the Miztourage that they're going to be fighting, or is it going to be Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro? Because that's a hell of a lot better team than the Miztourage would be against the Shield. But we're definitely going to see it. I'm just... I don't know. It was kind of boring the way they did it, right? It just the beat-ups, and they just got together at the end and did the little... Right? I wasn't exactly like, ooh, can't wait for next week. Who cares? Okay, they're going to get make this better. They draw this out a little bit at least. I mean, teasing it and then throwing it in our face and blowing it in our face. It's just, yes, blowing it in our face is just not.
And teasing it.
Yes, and teasing it is just not cool. Not cool.
I don't know. That segment. I still got a little bit of goosebumps. You know those goosebumps that The Rock says he feels every time he comes back and, you know, riles up the crowd? He points to his arm and he has the hair standing up. Yeah, I had that a little bit, but not too much. What did you think, Kent?
Well, judging by my disgruntled, I'm embarrassed for you look. No, Christ. Russ is right. Which I don't say very often.
Or ever.
But Russ is right. They should have taken a little bit longer. Hopefully this isn't going to be a month of, will they touch fist or will they not touch fist? Oh my God. No, one's got to walk away. The other two will be like, oh. No, please, for the love of fucking God, do not draw any more fucking fist bumping or else my fist is going to go through my fucking TV and it's not even paid for yet. Okay? So... please, spare me the fisting, for the love of God. Now, they could have drawn this out with way more integrity. They could have started off with, I thought Bo and Curtis were going to get a little bit more play in this, and instead Cesaro's now taken over that role, which I'm fine with. I mean, let's face it, that was for the better. But That last segment. So boring. I mean, it killed all the momentum from Kalisto, which I know we don't talk about how exciting that was.
That was a ton of momentum. And then the last scene, killer, just killed it all.
Like when you kill the momentum from Kalisto coming out, you've done God's work, haven't you? Yeah, that's how I feel right now. Yes, I will get excited when I hear Sierra Hotel India Echo Lima Delta. I'm not going to lie. Of course I'm going to get excited. But only if CM Punk comes out with them. Otherwise, who cares?
Speaking of that, just to jump to SmackDown quickly, can we keep this Ziggler thing going for just a little bit longer until they get,
to Chicago?
Exactly.
They have to. They have to, because it's going to piss the fans off so much.
Do you think they'll know it, though? I mean, come on. It's so obvious.
They'll know it, but they have to pop for it. They can't not pop for it. Like, could you imagine being in Chicago and being like, shit, we're going to get played, but if I don't pop, I'm going to fucking hate myself if it is Punk.
Yeah, you're right. It is actually Punk, right. Yeah, it's...
yeah, that's never going to happen.
No, it's not.
As much as the Marks chant for him, he's not coming back, people.
Let's Punk for Hall of Fame 2018. Guarantee it.
Yeah, that means him and Triple H have to kiss and make up, and that's going to be a long time coming.
I said guarantee it. What else do I have to do?
I want
to
see them kiss and make up.
I want to see them really kiss.
That's what I meant.
And make out.
Yeah.
Oh, you said make up, but I want to say make
out. No, you're right. I go with make out. Let's say make out.
Guys, I said Triple H and CM Punk, not AJ Lee and Stephanie.
I'd still rather see Triple H and CM Punk make out.
I mean, if the Shield's going to be involved, then we get some fisting involved, and I am totally into everything that we are talking about.
Now that's a wrestling match.
Oh, wow.
Clues will be raging.
Raging.
Okay, so we really got off topic.
Okay, so...
No, we didn't. We just talked about fisting.
Yeah,
and
Shield.
And you talked about the Shield.
Exactly. Connections.
Will they? Oh, my God. Whose fist is bigger?
Now,
who's got bigger gloves? Which gloves are thicker? Who trimmed their nails?
I hope they all trim their nails. That could be
dangerous.
Speaking
of trimming nails, anything else on the Shield and Miz and Cesaro, or do you guys want to just move on?
I do have one quick question for Kent. So, what did you think of them all of a sudden going from the Miztourage to Sheamus and Cesaro helping? Did that make any sense to you at all? Like, I was so confused by all of that. Like,
it was a last-minute audible, it felt like. Like,
it did.
I feel that the last time they're like, we're not quite comfortable with Axel and Bo Dallas. We don't really have much for Cesaro because Gallows and Anderson, they're nothing to us. So we may as well put them in because Jeff is out. There's not much going on for Cesaro. My bigger question, and I'll ask this to both of you, where does this leave Braun? Because Brock's gone. Is he just in a holding pattern? Is he going to keep beating up on Enzo? Or is he waiting for the return of somebody who may be slightly overweight because of his heritage?
I hope it's the he's waiting for somebody because of his heritage overweight guy.
I'm going to have to concur with that.
Because who else does he have?
There isn't anyone.
Zack Ryder?
He's in SmackDown.
Kalisto?
Kalisto, yeah. Well, he's the big name that came out to 205. He can no longer be on the Raw roster. So you're out of that one.
Kurt Hawkins. Kurt Hawkins versus Braun Strowman is a feud I'd watch for a month, and I would enjoy every second of it. I'm just saying.
If he's Kurt Hawkins breaks his streak on him, like at the pay-per-view, not at like during a crappy Raw. Let him lose a bunch to him, and at the pay-per-view, actually give a good match, and have him pin Braun. It would possibly ruin Braun, so I'm kind of, hesitant to say do it. But, man, it would be great for Kurt.
Didn't Braun put over some lesser talent earlier in the year?
Yeah, it's called Brock Lesnar. Ho-ho!
Oh, shit. No, it was like some small dude.
Yeah, wasn't like, wasn't it Kalisto or
Sammy. So if he's willing to put over Sammy, I mean, I think he's game for just about anything as long as he gets some comeuppance.
Yeah, but
or we could have him feud with Matt Hardy and give new meaning to the word broken.
I'd watch that.
That actually makes sense. And we talked about it's amazing how we actually I didn't even picture Braun in that, but it's amazing how you asked that question at 9deuce.com/wrestling on our blog. And we asked what Matt Hardy could do. Matt Hardy is versatile. He can do almost anything that we need him to do. And that would be great. Braun has nothing to do. Put him against Matt.
And the fact is, Matt's offensive arsenal can work with just about anybody. He doesn't have any moves that require size difference. He can work as sloppy as possible. He has a few moves, and he can work the crowd. That's all he needs in any feud with anybody to get him or them over. So, yeah, sure, sign me up for Braun versus Matt. Or Jason Jordan versus Braun. I wouldn't mind watching Jason Jordan, you know, get thrown off a stretcher, you know, through something. I don't know. I'd be fine with that.
Or thrown into an ambulance and tipped over.
I mean, really, what the hell is Jason Jordan going to be doing now that Miz has moved on?
Has Miz moved on? I mean, or is it moved on? Yeah, or is it a holding pattern until Miz
goes back? I knew, Maurice is still pregnant, so he's still there.
Okay.
Wow. Well, alrighty then. Let's move on, shall we, guys?
So we're moving on too? Wow.
I just saw The Miz on ESPN today, by the way. He was on like at 4:15, 4:20-ish on ESPN. I don't know doing what. He was just talking, but good for The Miz.
Yeah.
Probably promoting something wrestling related. Maybe. I don't know. All right. So anyway, let's talk old people. And the storyline involving Mickey James. Did they go too far? I mean, do we feel like they're rehashing the whole Piggy James storyline with this whole depends and she's fragile and may break a hip storyline? Kent, what do you think?
That was my initial thought was, oh my god, I am reliving Lee Cool, except there's no Michelle McTaker involved. And I'm wondering, I can't imagine Mickey comes up with these storylines, which tells me that somebody who writes for WWE truly has a grudge against Mickey. And I'm going to just be honest. I'm assuming she probably just denied whatever this dude wanted, his advances, and he has had a freaking vendetta because nobody has ever gotten such shitty storylines and been like an all-time great like Mickey James. Like, Mickey James is easily top five women all time, and she gets treated like shit way too frequently.
Yeah, she's had, like, what, one good feud, maybe two?
I mean, yeah, it's been forever since she's had a really good feud. I don't know, it baffles me, it worries me, but kudos to Mickey for just running with it with a smile on her face and being an absolute professional. I didn't realize it when she left. I did, but even more so, like, I'm going to really miss her when she's gone. Like, when she retires, I'm going to miss Mickey James. So, I don't really care much for this storyline. I don't care for when women have to act like they're 13 years old in the middle school cafeteria, giggling, tee-hee, wondering who's going to bump fist. It just kind of seems a little childish. So, not a fan, really, at the moment, unfortunately, of that.
What do you think, Russ?
Yeah, I hate when they do stupid storylines, like this old thing. Oh, my God. Okay, do it for a few minutes. Get it over with. But they kept on hammering it, and it's super, super annoying. And Kent's right. It felt like a middle school drama club. Or just a middle school, period, where these kids are just picking on Mickey for no, like, just because they're assholes. It just felt stupid. I hate it. I love Alexa Bliss, and she's a great champion, but man, they are throwing crap at her and hoping she's going to come out shining. And because this also reflects on her, too, I think. We got to remember that, because That's her. This is the feud she's in. It's the worst possible way to do this. There's so many other ways they can go about this, and they fail.
Like, they really could have capitalized on the whole Alexa brought Mickey back thing. Like, that was a really good storyline, and that was compelling enough to have a feud for the month until Asuka debuted and made it all about Asuka.
Right.
Like, they could have done that. And then my question is, why is it that WWE fails to acknowledge how poorly they book their champions? Every month, we go through this whole phase where we're just like, well, the champions are boring, but their counterparts aren't so boring. And then as soon as you stop being a champion, you become exciting again. Orton, I mean, Christ, he's done that 10, 11 times. It happens with pretty much everybody. AJ Styles is boring as fuck right now, in all fairness. But, like, why is it that WWE can't book a champion all that well? The last champ that was booked remotely well was AJ on SmackDown, I would say, along with Bliss. But that was, you know, 20 writers ago, it feels like, if you've been watching SmackDown the past 2 to 3 months. So why is it that champs get booked so dully, so poorly, and yet when you're not in the mix, you kind of get booked better? Isn't that weird?
I think it's weird, but does it have to do with the way they book WWE? They used to be able to tell a story. And the story was progressive. Like, when Stone Cold was going after the belt, it took, what, months?
What?
Exactly. Months.
What?
And it all culminated at WrestleMania. Now it seems like the stories have to culminate within a month. So they throw these just garbage, quick stories to hit us. And barely ever flesh out the details. With the exception of Bray and Finn at this point, and who knows, maybe they made that up as they were going too. Someone could have honestly said, hey, Bray fought the demon and Finn. Wouldn't it be funny if Finn had to fight Bray and Sister Abigail? Oh my God, do it. So we don't know if that was like something that came up at the last minute too, the way they explained it.
I think a lot of them are just juvenile dares. They're just like, that's the stupidest thing. Let's do it. Let's see what we can do.
I dare you to put this as a storyline.
This is what they do in the writing offices, sadly.
Yeah, because it's so easy to make a champion good. If they're a heel champion, you make the... Tell me if this is wrong. Heel champion. You make everyone hate them. They win hook or by crook. They can win legitimately too, but it's got to really tick off the crowd. You really got to. You want someone you can cheer for, but then you can't have the person you're cheering for always lose when they're going after the belt. A-double. Because then you just stop caring. There's got to be a point where they go after the belt. They don't get the belt. Okay, fine. Hook or crook, the heel champion won. Then the face has to go back up the ladder. That's some of the best stories.
The chase. They've lost the element of the chase, and the last time a chase was done properly, for better or worse, and however long it was drawn out, was Daniel Bryan fucking 3.5 years ago. Let that sink in. It's been 3.5 years since we've had a legitimate good chase for a championship. That's a long fucking time.
And that's the problem. You don't have a chase anymore, because they don't do chases now. If they do a chase, like, it's a 2-month storyline. That's the chase. Instead of having it chase, fail, has to get back up that ladder, reach back to the champion. So they don't always fight the same guy every month in and out. It's a couple different guys here and there to try to get back to the champion. Then when they finally get back to the champion, you got that. All right, he's there. Nothing.
And yet, to go even further with the point, if you look at the women's division, I found that tag match to be really good. I found that to be the match of the night. I know a lot of people say Miz versus Roman. I thought the women's tag match was the match of the night. It was really good storytelling. And it worked. It worked on every level. It made every single person stand out and become something. It wasn't hard. It was just a simple 15-minute match. But yet, none of them are in for the title right now. So, of course, suddenly they became acceptable characters, and I don't get that.
Yeah, you're right. It's weird. Back to the women. Don't you find it weird that Nia all of a sudden is back in Alexis's corner?
Yeah, I just want to know, like, what the seating is in that locker room. Like, do they have two nice chairs? Do they have a love seat? I kind of want to see them sitting on a love seat next to each other just for differential size. And since we're talking about the women, shit, I got to bring it up. I don't care. Heartless bastard. I don't care. We talked about it on the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling. The breast cancer awareness stuff. I'll just say it. A lot of us don't pay much attention to it. We all acknowledge that it's a good thing. Like, Dana Warrior is captivating as hell as far as I'm concerned. But I just don't care. Like, is it grandstanding? Are they legitimately trying? I don't know. Carrie, you're a woman. Kind of, right? Like, tell me I'm stupid or something here. I don't know.
It's tough to know if Carrie's a woman because she married Eric. So it's, you know.
Right. And I believe that she wears the pants. So right.
You try to tell him that. Anyway, well, I think in the case of the breast cancer awareness segments, I mean, they're promoting a cause that they've invested a lot of time and effort into. And it's an amazing cause. Bringing the women who have fought this disease are, I mean, it's really inspirational to see. The thing is, that's not why people come to a wrestling event. That's not why they do it. A short backstage, coming back from commercial break segment still gets the point across. I think it's just the way they're putting it forward. I mean, again, I think it's a great cause. I think they're doing great things with it. I applaud the women for their strength and courage to fight through what they're going through or what they went through. With that said, as I said, there's a different way to showcase that.
Why is it always breast cancer awareness? I'm not trying to be that guy, but why is it always breast cancer
That's their horse they backed.
But it's for, like, everything. The NFL, the only cancer that they ever really acknowledge is breast cancer, where most of those dudes, if anything, should be worried about fucking prostate cancer. Or in the case of the Shield, they should be worried about prostate cancer from all the fisting, okay? Like, I don't understand why it's always breast cancer. And with that being said, I love the shirts this year. The whole Warrior shirt, like, I loved how they incorporated that. It was brilliant. It also frustrates me to watch all the heels and faces in the ring acting like they're all happy. You just can't do that. It ruins the mood. Just do all the faces out there. It gets the point across. I don't need to see Alexa smiling next to Sasha. It kind of screws with things a little bit. You wouldn't have Braun Strowman out there with a great big smile hugging people, right? So why is Nia out there doing it? It just kills the illusion. Sorry. Story matters.
It's true, it does. Here's my other thought on this, too. They have to grandstand. It's they have to do it because that's what gets people to take out their money and, you know, donate. So the grandstanding, I understand it. It's just, oh, God, when you're at home, all you want to do is just fast forward it because it doesn't matter. But they're grandstanding, so people at the, you know, at the arenas, they're going to go and be like, okay, yeah, oh, I remember. You know what? I'll do it. You know, and that's going to get some money towards. That's what the grandstanding is about. People are morons. They want to show.
But will they hire Simon Gotch for Movember with his great mustache?
They should.
No. They should, but they won't. But it'd be great if they did and made a shirt out of it.
But that's the whole point. If the flashier it is, the more the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's as simple as that.
I don't want grease. Unless it's like on Greasy Pete's Pizza, then I want the grease.
Okay, well, think of it that way.
We've gone way off topic.
Completely,
Carrie, wrangle
Carrie.
Us.
Yes, I know. Yes, your wrangling skills. You let us go out in the fields. And.
Well, actually, I mean, we discussed it in the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, our kind of our views on this, on the breast cancer awareness segment. So, I mean, we weren't really off topic, guys. We were just kind of, you know, getting people to read the blog. You know, kind of, they're doing it to get people to donate money to the cause. We're getting people to read the blog.
Maybe that's to say, maybe we should grandstand for the blog, you know.
Well, just keep mentioning 90s.com/wrestling after everything you say.
That sounds like a good idea. 90s.com/wrestling.
Exactly.
When I'm really in the mood, I like to watch fisting at 90s.com/wrestling. Too far?
Not yet.
When I think of page taken two in the, I like to go to 90s.com/wrestling.
That's too far.
When I'm not sure if I should have a raging clue, I go to 90s.com/wrestling and read the blog there to know about whether I should have a raging clue for wrestlers who wear scantily clad clothing, even the male.
All right, speaking of things that may or may not give us all raging clues, let's talk the Cruiserweight division. Didn't they close out the show for the second week in a row?
Well, technically, they didn't close out the show this week, technically.
Will they? Won't they?
That does not count. That was a little minuscule backstage segment just to get everybody really excited. Raging clues, if you will. Anyway, so Cruiserweight division, we had Kalisto debut. Enzo, I have to say, guys, Enzo is killing it right now. I'm very impressed with him. I'm really impressed with what he's doing. So let's talk Cruiserweights, guys. Russ, what do you got for me?
Well, I'll say this. This is the Enzo I have been waiting for since he debuted on the main roster. Everyone kept on saying Big Cass is going to be the future face of the, you know, WWE.
And there's including Russ.
You're right. Well, because it's Vince McMahon's type of guy. So I'm still thinking he will be a big name in the future because he's a Vince McMahon type of guy. But I've always thought that Enzo is a great voice. Now, should he be a manager first? Yes. But he fits into the 205 and he's taken it and run with it. I'm really like this. This is what Enzo should be. He is a fantastic heel. He does it great because he makes everyone hate him, but he does it in such a fun way that people might still buy his merchandise. So he's really got something going there. It's excellent. But I will say this. When Kurt Angle came out and got all excited about introducing this new 205 guy, I'm like, oh, who could it be? And then he mentioned Kalisto. I swear, I laughed out loud for 5 minutes because it was the biggest. Like, they're building it up. Like, oh my god, this is gonna be good, Kalisto. I'm like, what? And I just started laughing.
Wah wah wah.
It was funny because Kalisto, and I'm not picking up. Kalisto's great in the ring. Don't get me wrong, but he's Kalisto. He's nothing big or important or someone we've missed for so long that we really wanted back.
How about you, Kent? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, here's my first thought. Didn't Ra already trade Sin Cara for Kalisto? That happened.
Yeah.
That happened. So this isn't a new signing, Kurt Angle. Just because the guy hasn't been used doesn't mean he's a new signing. This isn't Jack Swagger all of a sudden having his contract run out mysteriously. Like, oh, I sat there and I was like, what could have been worse? Kalisto's debut or the screen just going black? And I don't know the right answer because both were, to use the terms of the now age, it was a colossal epic fuck up. Literally, it was, yes.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes, it was.
This is the point where my television started going wonky at the end. So, the crowd.
You watched Willy Wonka?
Yes, it was fantastic.
Awesome.
The crowd's reaction. It was garbage, right? It was like crickets. Like, they didn't.
What
like
reaction are you talking
exactly
about?
Exactly. I wasn't sure. Maybe I was like, okay, maybe the crowd's going off because my computer, my phone, my television started glitching out at that point. So I couldn't really hear the reaction. And I was just thinking, because I was, and plus I was laughing, so it was really hard for me to hear it. I was laughing so hard. And I was just like, did the crowd react Or is it crickets like I think it is?
I rewound it because I was laughing as well. So I was like, Jesus Christ, I overlooked the reaction. No, there was no reaction. And Kalista was trying so hard to sell it. It just didn't work.
I feel bad for Kalisto in that case, because they're thinking, oh, we're going to get this huge reaction. We're going to come back. We're going to introduce you. It's going to be amazing. And they call his name. I started laughing, and then nothing. I couldn't tell if they were, like I said, I couldn't tell if there was no reaction at all. It was bad.
Kalisto hasn't been relevant since he feuded with Corbin, like last year.
Yeah.
That was the last time he was relevant, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
I mean, good for Enzo, though. I gotta say, that motherfucker made me laugh quite a bit when he was going around the ring insulting people. And I can't remember exactly what he said to Tozawa, but whatever it was, that cracked me up. And then he also made me laugh when he... shit, was it Gulak? That he, I don't know, I think he called him Captain Underpants. That made me laugh. There was quite a few good jokes there. And it made me wonder, do you think that WWE sometimes intentionally allows news to get leaked to help build something? Because would this have really mattered to us as smarks? Would this have worked nearly as well if we didn't know that Enzo was kind of hated backstage? I don't think it would have. I think that knowledge actually makes this better for us as smarks.
I think it does, because it lets us go... I think you're right. Let me swear, I think it does. I think you're right. I think they purposely kind of leak that stuff out, get it out there to us, so we can say, oh, well, people don't like him. Well, he does act like a dick on... And then when he acts like a dick on screen, you're like, this fits his personality. Maybe it kind of blends the realism to us, I guess. And that is very important to Smarks, the realism. Don't get me wrong. I love my sister Abigail Braze/Braze. But sometimes I like a little bit of realness in there. It gets it, you know, makes it a little bit more personal.
It's funny that, all right, when No Mercy was getting super hype, SmackDown was the better show. Now that Hell in a Cell is getting hype, Raw's the better show. What the fuck, man? Like, can't they just put together a good go home show? Or is this just me being a pessimist?
When was the last time there was a good go home show?
I think the last time I went home from a show.
Right. It's a long time ago.
Yes. I'll say this. Wade Barrett was still doing the Nexus thing, I believe.
I don't know. That's my problem. They used to do great go-home shows. It wasn't even that long ago. I know, I would say within a year, they've lost the talent of a go-home show. And I think, honestly, it's because there's too many we keep on going back to this. There's too many pay-per-views.
Isn't it great, though, Russ? We have basically most of the rest of the year plotted out. Because next week, we'll do the Hell in a Cell review. And then the week after that, we'll do the preview for TLC. And the week after that, we'll do the they're giving us so much to work with.
They are. They are giving us a lot to work with. It makes our lives a lot easier to write for. Except when the website goes down, or we can't be proactive on this week, okay? It can't be done until Monday. No previews written until Monday.
Fair enough. Oh, shit. You know what? I'm not just saying this as a segue. I'm really curious. Carrie, do you have any segments, like any news this week? I haven't really been keeping up on anything.
I haven't either. School's been keeping me really busy.
Well, then we have no news.
Well, actually, I did read something today. You guys may be wrong about the whole Sister Abigail and Bray turning it, you know, cross-dressing. They are actually bringing somebody in to be Sister Abigail. She was on... The name escapes me right now, but she was one of the women in the Mae Young class.
Not Blazer. You're thinking Blazer?
Are you thinking of Mae Young? Because she's also dead.
Yes.
No. All right. Now I have to go find her name. Hold on.
Yeah, because we don't do that.
Exactly. I can't do that. I don't know.
It's...
I don't know.
Because I read that I read that it was going to be Bray dressed up as a woman.
Me too. I heard it was going to be Bray. That's going to be Bray's alter ego. That's what I read. And it's going to counteract.
It's going to be like his Spider-Man.
Right. It's going to counteract the demon. Which, when they fight together. And
I wonder if they'll both get rings and they can activate like little Wonder Twin shit.
Oh, yeah. And they'll be like form of Ice Bucket. And
dead demon.
Yes.
Oh, never mind. There's an update to that story. Your guys are right. It is going to be Bray cross-dressing. Never mind. Now
so when we're right, that means that Carrie's actually going to be right in the long run somehow.
Yeah.
End up being wrong. So.
Yes. So congratulations, Carrie. You're right. Because Kent and I can't be right about WWE.
Nope.
But you know what we can be right about, though? Russ's man crush of the week. Russ.
Clue is ready.
Yes, Russ, who are you crushing on this week?
This week was kind of tough, only in the fact that two things really stuck out to me. I'm going to talk about both of them, and then I'm going to tell you my choice. So, okay, we already talked ad nauseum about Bray and the Sister Abigail thing. But Bray as Sister Abigail was just, you know, I can finally say I have a man crush that's turned into a woman. So, kind of a positive right there for me. The other one, honestly, was Randy Orton. And here's the only reason why. First of all, okay, he does look amazing. He's gotten himself really good shape. But he had he went on the podcast with Edge and Christian, which is a far better podcast than ours. I highly recommend that you listen to them. They're entertaining. Plus, they have more options to work with.
They have guests.
Yes.
That aren't Steve.
Yes. That aren't people you've never heard of. But he came on and he was talking about how much he really enjoyed helping Aiden English out. And I thought that was really awesome, you know, because Aiden is, I personally want Aiden to succeed. I think he's a great guy. He's funny. I like him. So I kind of want him to be a top tier villain at some point. And Randy went on and said how much he enjoyed doing what he could for Aiden. I thought that was great. So it was really tough for me to choose between these two guys. In the end, though, I chose Bray Wyatt turning into Sister Abigail because that's my man crush of the week. I finally can say I have a man crush that's actually a woman. And let's face it, did you see the makeup they had on him as Sister Abigail? I know it was really hard to see. Holy crap, if they do go through with it the way they had it, it's going to be hilarious. Hilarious. I laugh. So Bray Wyatt is my man crush of the week. Or Sister Abigail.
This is the year of Wyatt. Let's face it. House of Horrors, the Mania match, and this? Nobody can say they've had a better year. Nobody.
Better year or... Okay, memorable, yes. Better? There's a lot of people can say it's been better.
No. I'll tell you who can't. Breeze Dango, who've been gone again.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad about that.
They keep getting pushed.
Every response on the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling for all of the SmackDown questions, it circles back to the lack of fashion files on this week's episode.
It's true. They screwed us.
I am so upset.
Hey, speaking of SmackDown, isn't there a pay-per-view coming up this Sunday?
There is. So let's talk Hell in a Cell, people. Let's go start with the kickoff match. So we got Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin versus the Hype Bros. That seems kind of random, doesn't it? Russ, what do you think?
Well, random in the fact that they need the... I like Kent's. What was it? American Omega. American Beta, because are they better? I don't know yet. We'll see.
I think they're worse. So, like, if they can prove that they're better, then they could be the
then
Omega.
They could be Omega. Right now, they're American Beta. I like it.
Right.
They're American Beta right now. So, I kind of... American Beta is definitely winning this. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be better. We have to see the match. But this is definitely going to be the breakup point for the Hype Brothers, which I'm hoping leads to a decent story out of them. Or it could just lead to them never showing back up on our screens, and nobody cares. That's probably what's going to happen. So, am I excited by it? No, I don't give a shit. I'll watch it, because it's, you know, it's wrestling, and I'm obligated to watch these things sometimes. So, that's what I think is going to happen. I'm not going to give you my winner yet. Although I already did.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. Kent, how about you? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are the thinner is the winner, as the Bloodhound Gang once told me. So, we all know where I'm going with this, as far as my prediction goes. This match was really hyped up really well. It sounds like, to me at least, that we ain't hype, and I can't understand why. I mean, Christ, Chad and Shelton, they've had so many matches since forming. Two, I think. Which, yeah, that's cool.
Not one this week.
No. And, I mean, the Hype Bros, they've had a lot of good matches since SummerSlam. Two, I think. So, I mean, this match has a lot of personal conflict. And one guy is really mad at the other guy. The other guy is friends with Rob Gronkowski. And the other guy is Shelton Benjamin saying, I came back for this. So that's fantastic. That's how you push the tag team division on SmackDown, which that's a whole other gripe for the other tag team match everyone will talk about. But seriously, they've done nothing to build up anything. Meanwhile, there are two other tag teams that could be used. Breeze Dango and the Ascension have been nowhere to be seen. But hey, let's put these guys on the kickoff show.
It's
not
funny,
bitter.
It's funny you mentioned Gronk, because I was in one of the local malls here down in the D.C. area, and apparently Brookstone has a Gronk football speaker. It's a speaker shaped like a football.
Why does it have Gronk's name onto it?
He's marketable.
No,
frat boys love Gronk, dude.
That's true.
Also, did anybody notice that Zack Ryder had the Emma position during the Las Vegas moment of silence? They're still in love.
You mean if they're at the end of the totem pole and they're in love, yes.
They should both come out to Mike Kanellis' song, since he's clearly not going to ever use it.
No. Well, no, he used it this week.
And lost it.
And lost it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, though. Listen to that fucking song without wrestling happening. Just, like, sit down and listen to it. That song's really fucking good, and it brings me back to the 80s.
There's so many people who really like it. I've read a lot of blogs, and not just blogs, but articles, where people are like, if I can just hear the song, that's all I care about. So,
if I was ever going to make the mistake of getting married again, I would totally get married to that song.
There you go, ladies. But Kent's going to be making that mistake again.
If anything, I'm going to get married to a slice of pizza. It'd be the greatest thing. It'd be cannibalism, and I'm fine with that.
I was going to say, now, once you eat the slice, do we consider it murder? Did you kill your wife? I mean,
well, it depends on how much tongue is involved.
All right, guys. Let's do our picks for this match. I got Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Kent, who do you got?
I think Shelton and Gable are thinner, so thinner is the winner.
And Russ.
American Beta, all the way.
All right, let's move on to Russ's Man Crush runner-up for the week. Orton versus Rusev. I foresee Rusev winning here, you know, just to kind of balance everything out. Kent, what are your thoughts?
I really want pizza now. I don't feel that I had enough back and forth banter between the two. It's been a lot of just sneak attacks, which is fine. This has been okay so far. I'm just hoping that maybe moving forward we get more talking points, because both guys are very good. Plus, Aiden's in the loop on this. I just want to see more talking from all these people that are gifted. Especially Rusev is great on the mic. So underrated. I don't necessarily know what they're feuding over. I have no idea, as a matter of fact. I don't feel that I truly celebrate National Rusev Day as much as I should have. But I have spread the word to a lot of people who have shrugged their shoulders and asked me who Rusev was. So that's a good start. And Randy seems to want to put people over, so after what happened at SummerSlam, this just kind of seems like an opportunity. That's what I got.
All right. Russ, what are your thoughts?
Kind of with Ken on this one, lots of sneak attacks. It wasn't bad. I thought definitely could have been more face-to-face. I don't know what they're feuding over. The fact that Rusev ran in and won a match in 9 seconds. Because that seems to seem like everything revolves around that right now. And while I guess that's okay, it's just kind of weird. I've never really liked Randy Orton that much. So for me, it's kind of tough to be interested in this match. But Rusev has been killing it. I mean, Rusev has been great since he's come back. It's just that I don't know why I should care about this match at all. I don't, other than the fact that it's Rusev. Hey, Kent. That was fantastic.
I hit my button.
You did. Wow. Things went well.
But you know what? I was thirsty. I had some wings earlier, and since we're on the topic of food and Rusev, I am very thirsty, so I had to go get another thing of water to help quench.
Now, do you think this is going to be a spotlight for Rusev? Because it feels like it should lean that way, right?
Here's the thing. I don't know who gains what out of this. Rusev gets a win, and he can say, yes, I beat the Viper. Who hasn't beaten the Viper this freaking year?
Right.
Right? So, I'm not sure.
Randy doesn't need the win, though.
No. Rusev needs to win more. The thing is, they have to be creative in how they finish it. That's what's important. I don't care about the outcome. It's the finish and how they can lead on to another match next month.
Right, the lead-up. I think that's more important on this one, the lead-up.
And also, I mean, if we're thinking ahead, we're probably going to get a Team Raw versus Team SmackDown match where Undertaker's going to threaten to slit everybody's throats if they lose.
Correct.
I assume Randy and Rusev may be on that team, so that could be an interesting dynamic. So,
dynamic, they're just going to be cock-slap it, and they're going to be like, oh, I don't like you, but since we're going against Raw, I'll crush Raw. That's what they're going to do, and that's it. They're not going to be like,
I still prefer that over, will you touch my fist or will you not touch my fist?
Oh, man. They're going to be part of it, too, and they're definitely going to win.
Believe that. But what would you take? The fisting trio?
Oh, my God. That's
or Rusev, Randy, and Aiden?
Well, I'd rather take Rusev and Aiden just because they're awesome right now.
Right. So.
But that's another torch that needs to be passed on to Roman. He needs to win a Survivor Series as a captain.
Didn't he already do that? Was he like the lone survivor 1 year?
I don't know. That's something we need to check out. Because
I want to say 2015.
Was he captain, though? Was he captain?
Obvious, yes, but
yes,
I don't know. I'll look it up.
All right. Kent's going to look that up. Why don't we talk, Carrie, about our predictions?
All right. I have Rusev. Who do you have, Russ?
Tough one. Kent was right. I don't see the benefit of a Randy win here. And Rusev can benefit from it. So Randy's going to win it because screw Rusev. They always bury the shit out of him. So Randy, going with that one. I see Kent's looking face. He's very...
Well... In 2015, Roman Reigns defeated Dean Ambrose in the WWE World Heavyweight Championship Tournament final match, and then Sheamus cashed in the Money in the Bank. So I got my years incorrect, so I'm going to have to go back to 2014. But while I'm doing that, I can answer the question and say Machka for the win. And hopefully, I want Aiden to be part of the reason why he wins.
Yes.
That will keep the storyline going.
Yeah. Definitely has to be a heel win. If Rusev's going to win it, it's got to be a heel win.
Fair enough. All right. Well, Ken's doing some research. Russ, let's talk Ziggler versus Bobby Roode. I'm enjoying this. I predicted this whole feud/match a while back when Ziggler started his whole entrance gimmick, making fun of entrance gimmick. So I'm pretty giddy right now. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
I like what they're doing with Dolph, although this week was really weak, just the drum and everything. That was stupid. But I really do like what they're doing with Dolph. I think he needs to have a couple of matches. That's what they should have done. Like, wouldn't this have been better? He comes out and says, do all these flashy things, love me, love me, and people hate him. But then he goes in there and puts on a clinic of a match.
Say that you love me?
Yes. But if he put on a clinic of a match during this time period between the last match or the last pay-per-view and this weekend's Hell in a Cell, wouldn't that have been a great way of him being able to say, yeah, okay, I'm not your flashy entrance guy, but I can do it in the ring. And then we'd all have something to prove it against. I mean, yes, we're going off of his laurels. That's basically what we're doing. We're going off the laurels that Dolph is really good in the ring. Instead of giving us a match, they didn't do that. That was a big mistake for this feud. Other than that, the other big mistake was they've barely done anything with the Glorious One. He's come out for his entrance, had a squash match, and he's had talking segments since he's been debuted. This is Bobby Roode. He should be in the match, in the ring, having matches. He is an in-ring technician. That's what we watch him for. Yes, is he a little bit boring? He's not flashy. I'll say that. He's not flashy. But he is flashy when it counts, like in-ring, getting into the ring and stuff like that. He's good in the ring. Bobby is a guy that people need to see in a match. So I'm hoping Dolph gives him a good match. It seems like to me that their styles would be very good together. Dolph loves ragdoll in it. Bobby's got a clean technical, but he is powerful. So I think their technique should be really good together. I'm hoping for a good match. I'm excited. I really do want to see how Dolph enters. I'm hoping it's awesome. I'm hoping they don't do it stupidly. I really do hope they make some awesome entrance for him. All right, Ken, send something.
Just to echo your point, Russ, I mean, I think having Ziggler in a match where he basically pretty much dominated probably would have given him a little more validity to this whole, I don't have a flashy entrance, but I can kick serious ass in the ring. There's no validity to those statements right now. He can just imitate everybody else's entrance. He can do that really well. With that said, I hate what they've done with Bobby Roode. I hope this is a turning point for him. I feel like they should have left him in NXT because he was doing so well down there. But
he just needs a... He needs a place to showcase. And they're not doing that right now. So I'm hoping that they give them time at Hell in a Cell. Which I highly doubt with two Hell in a Cell matches, so.
True. Kent, sounds like you're back. What are your thoughts on this?
I think this would be a really good opportunity to surprise some people. And have Dolph cheat to win here. Bobby needs to get pushed towards being a heel. Him as a face doesn't work. We all agree.
He comes in, it's fun, don't watch his entrance, but he is not a face. He is a heel, definitely.
Right. So, in the process, if they give Dolph an impressive enough entrance where he could possibly end up being a face, we could have a double turn down the road. And this is a feud that I'd like to actually watch for a couple months. I'm completely fine with... I think their matches are going to be fun as hell. I mean, remember, Dolph versus Triple H, those were great matches. This is going to be basically the same damn thing.
Except a younger guy.
Right. The Canadian who comes out to Nickelback. Yeah, it should be a good match. And as a matter of fact... If this wasn't such a stacked card, I would pick this as my dark horse to be match of the night. I'm still going to say it's going to be the third best match of the night, but I just... Both Hell in the Cell matches really seem like they got a lot going for them, which I'm sure we'll talk about. It's just... I don't think this match will live up. I think it's going to be kept shorter.
Didn't it seem weird how poorly the go-home show was? But we're still interested in three matches. Like, we have... Raw was a really
bad... I'm interested in four matches, really.
Yeah, okay. I can see the four. I'm just very shocked that there's three matches that I am still very up, like, I want to see these three matches. The No Mercy, I wanted to see basically 1.5. Two, I guess, technically, because the Cesaro versus the Fistos was on there just because they had a great match before. But that's it, and I wasn't that excited about either of them, and then they totally ruined the Braun versus Brock match. Completely ruined it. And they ruined the John Cena and the Roman one. I'm just shocked at how badly they designed these. Yeah, I'm still interested in three matches, so good for WWE.
Good for abusive relationships.
I guess. Because
we just keep coming back thinking, oh, they're going to change her and give us better matches.
They're going to be different this time. Oh, we're
this is the black guy. The worst part is,
we make fun of people who do that, but we are, it's nowhere near as bad.
No, this is worse, okay? This is so much worse and taxing on our emotional sensibilities, if we're being honest here. I mean, women, they just get black eyes. I mean, look at the torture and toil we put on ourselves week in and week out to put out a quality podcast, a quality blog. It's ridiculous. I mean, abusive women in relationships, I mean, they just gotta take a few hits. Trust me, hit me a few times and I don't have to watch this shit. I'm okay with it, okay? Just tossing that out here, okay? Just don't touch the face. That's my money maker.
Oh yeah, that's the money maker. You can't.
Right.
And we lost only viewer that watches us. So Carrie's not even gonna watch us now. She's disgusted.
Yeah,
nope. Nope. As soon as you give me your picks, I'll listen again. So, who do we got? Ziggler versus Bobby Roode. I'm going Bobby Roode. Kent, who do you got?
Zig.
And Russ.
I'm thinking Ziggler here. It feels right. Bobby just has to put on a good match. He doesn't have to win. That's all Bobby has to do. Put on a good match. Doesn't need the win. Dolph kind of needs it.
Realistically, how does the feud continue if Dolph doesn't win?
If Dolph doesn't win, exactly.
It's a good point. All right, moving on now. I don't even know if you guys even want to talk about this one, so...
I'll make it fast.
Okay, boo.
Natalia versus Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's title. Should we just go picks, guys?
Well, let's quickly talk about how many times any of these matches between any of them or anything that led up to this. Anybody? No? We all fast-forwarded this? Okay, yep, picks. Let's go.
All right. Natalia retains. Russ?
This has been piss poor. I don't give a shit about this match. I'm going to say Charlotte wins only to get Carmella to cash in and take it from her, leading us up to a Carmella versus Charlotte somewhere down the line, maybe around Royal Rumble time.
And don't forget a James Ellsworth on a pole.
Yes, and James Ellsworth on a pole.
And Kent.
See, it all comes down to when they want to start up, if they want to start up the Charlotte and potential four horsewomen versus four horsewomen thing. That's really what this all comes down to. We'll know more once this match is over. Like, I know you just asked for a prediction, but I mean, that's the crux of the whole thing, right? Like, Charlotte's probably not going to be the champion when the horsewomen thing happens. So, I say Natalia wins via distraction from Ronda Arouse Me.
Could be a segue into it.
I don't know if she still arouses me. I haven't seen her in a while.
She might.
She might. I hope so.
All right.
Good discussion.
I was going to say... Moving on to things that don't arouse anyone.
Now, you don't know that. You don't know that. Yeah.
Are we talking about Big E next? Or Corbin? Because if we are, then you are wrong, madam.
No, I'm going to talk about Jinder versus Shinsuke.
Wow, way to make that raging clue to go right down. Congratulations.
Hey, I knew how to pick the next match. Russ, what are your thoughts? And give me a pick.
Holy crap. how is it that in 2017, the two main belts are the biggest pieces of garbage that WWE has right now? I am ashamed at how bad they are doing this with gender. I don't know if I feel bad for gender or if he's just not the guy to do this. But I should be excited about Shinsuke getting a chance at the belt. And yet, I don't give a rat's ass about this match. It's going to be... out of all the other matches on this, this is going to be like the fifth or sixth best match. It could be the curtain jerker for this pay-per-view. That's how non-existent or non-important this match is to WWE. How insulting to Shinsuke is this? He's getting a chance at a belt. It used to be the biggest prize in the WWE, and now it's... I think people would rather have the cruiserweight belt right now. That's how bad I think this is. I don't care about the match. I'll watch it because it's on my TV, and I will pray that it's at least decent. I really do want Jinder to be successful, but he has failed beyond anything I can hope. I'm not blaming him completely. Storylines have been garbage. Garbage. But Jinder is not someone I can get behind. He's not charismatic enough. Who am I think is winning? Jinder.
Kent, your thoughts?
I think if you're in a relationship where you're getting abused, whether you're male or female, you should reach out and get help. I feel that's what's important in life here. Don't stay in that abusive relationship. Fight back with a pitchfork or something. I don't know. Just call. Get help. Get out of that relationship. And this right here, this is way more important than anything I could possibly say or add to this conversation. I don't care. I can't express to you how little I care. I would rather watch 10 breast cancer awareness segments than watch this match. I would rather hear Charlotte cut a 10-minute promo than to watch this match. I would rather see Ryback in a 2-minute match than to watch this match. No. Just no, no, no. Give the belt to Shinsuke. That's it.
I'd rather watch the Katie Vick segment as a
three-hour
as a 3-hour movie than watch this match.
I would rather watch Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania than to watch this match.
I'd rather watch the House of Horrors match for the entire pay-per-view than watch that match.
I'd rather watch this match than Triple H versus Roman Reigns at last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
All right, let's move on to matches that we actually want to see. Let's talk AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin for the United States title. Kent, what are your thoughts?
No matter what I say, I'm going to be wrong. That's what I have for you. If I sit here and say, well, Baron's been booked like shit, so he's just going to miraculously win the title because that's what WWE does a lot, I'm going to look like a goddamn fool. If I sit there and say, well, Baron's just getting buried, AJ's got to keep the belt for some other meaningful thing, I'm going to look like a goddamn fool. So, in the interest of fairness, just call her me a damn fool. I have no thoughts.
Okay, well, how about this? What was the point of having Ty Dillinger this entire month mixed into...
Gallows and Anderson were wondering the same thing backstage, okay?
Seriously, Ty has brought a really great dynamic to this entire feud, and I'm like, okay, I'm in this, let's go. And then he's not in the match at all, or any consideration for the match at all at Hell in a Cell.
This would have been a great way to get the belt on Baron or Ty.
Yeah.
Without AJ dropping.
Without AJ
dropping.
It would
have been great.
Yeah, nope. They totally dropped the ball. So with that in mind, I don't see AJ losing.
So that your pick?
Yeah, I'm going with AJ. I hope I'm wrong, because Corbin could use a belt and practice a little bit, especially...
Why, he'd just go and say, no, I want you, Cena, and Cena would be like, oh, coming out of retirement.
True enough. I don't know. I'm just really disheartened that Ty has nothing to do with this match. How they've done really good with this. Like, they built it up really well. I'll be honest with you. I was really into this match, thinking Ty was going to have some call in it. And then when they mention that he's not even a part of it, or they didn't even bring him into it this week, nothing. Okay.
A special guest ref. Something could have been done.
Yeah.
But isn't this something that's been ongoing this year in WWE? If we go back to WrestleMania, Luke Harper's left out, right? And there was somebody else that was left out of a meaningful match. Was it Sammy, perhaps? I don't remember. And then, you know, then we have Gallows and Anderson. This pay-per-view, we not only have Ty left out, we have Sammy left out.
Yep. How is Sammy left out? Sammy.
So, like, this is an epidemic, right?
Yeah.
Of, like, them, like, including people, building them up only to let us down. Not like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
That never lets us down.
Never.
I don't think I've ever had a bad Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
They're always
tasty. Now, will this be a good match? Yes. I can't see AJ and Corbin giving us a bad match.
Kevin Owens says hello.
That was Kevin Owens and AJ, and their styles are just not...
Wasn't that the flukiest goddamn thing, how those two couldn't have a good match?
Yeah, it was shockingly amazing how bad their matches were. Oh, not bad. Just not to the caliber I expect from those two.
Average. It was average.
Average. And that's bad for those two. But I can't see... I think AJ's going to bounce it back here. I think AJ's going to bounce it back. Corbin and AJ have had good matches. So, I think we're going to have a good one here. I think it's going to be better than the KO ones.
And Kent, what's your pick?
Baron.
Because he'd look like a jackass if his friend didn't, if his guy didn't win it.
Yeah.
Right, like, I can't sit here and say AJ then have Baron win it, because then I just lose all credibility. So, in the interest of credibility.
Yes.
All right. I say AJ retains, and we move on to... I'm going to do KO Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon Hell in a Cell match next. And apparently now falls count anywhere. I don't understand. Kent?
Let's make a structure where people are designed not to leave it, then make a Falls Count Anywhere match that is intended for people to go all over the arena. The Punjabi prison match is sitting there smiling down upon this idiocy, okay? This is so fucking dumb. Like, what were they thinking by adding such a stupid stipulation? Like, it's Hell in a Cell. You don't add stipulations to Hell in a Cell. I mean, you can add a championship or a retirement or something like that. You don't need it. It's Hell in a Cell. Like, the one match that they have, aside from Elimination Chamber and Royal Rumble, like, you just don't need to touch them. You don't need to tweak them. You just leave them be. But no, Falls Count Anywhere. So I guess you can get pinned on the outside of the ring, but inside the cell... But also, you can get outside the cell, even though you're not supposed to be able to get outside the cell. I don't know how that's supposed to be done.
That's the point of the structure, Kent. So you can't escape the cell.
Great Khali agrees with you.
This is the dumbest stipulation. I'm just thinking, like, my first thought was, so he can pin him on the, what, 5 feet of ring mat that's on the outside of, it's on the inside of the ring? Clearly.
Pin him on top of the cage because the ref's going to really like that task.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. How's the ref going to count that?
Does the ref have to count up? Or can the ref stay in the ring and look up and just be like, no, that seems about right? Or does the ref have to climb the cage in order to make the count?
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. So clearly, we all agree this match isn't staying in the cell.
What?
I know.
The Hell in a Cell not staying inside the cell? Surely
that's for me. You know, it's funny too, because the whole point of the Hell in a Cell again is so you can't escape. Don't you think after the first team that escaped, they reinforce the structure to make sure they can't escape?
No, Russ. No, that's no. Now you're making a structure that's already huge and heavy even heavier, Russ. No.
Okay, fair enough. It's heavier. You're right. Good feud, though. I've enjoyed this. This is Kevin Oda's best. I'll give it that.
But is Sammy turning? Or what's Sammy doing?
Sammy is the... Well, they could make Sammy the ultimate face. Just have him going up against Kevin Owens. But Kevin Owens has to have the prize. So, since Kevin Owens probably won't get that belt ever again for a long time, Sammy's just going to sit there and waste unless they turn him heel. So, no, he's going to sit there and waste. That's how WWE rolls. He could be the ultimate face. How awesome would it be? Kevin Owens wins the belt in December, right? Holds that belt until WrestleMania, and Sami Zayn goes to the ranks, wins the Royal Rumble, which Kent's predicting again this year, and he wins at WrestleMania. That's a huge WrestleMania moment. Huge. And they'll waste it. Sammy is the last pure face we have. And they're fucking it up.
This is true. This is true. All right, guys. Give me your picks. Who you got winning? I got KO. Russ?
Really tough. Rule of opposite momentum would say Shane at this point. And I can't. It kind of feels like Shane should win this. Honestly, KO could use a loss here, so I'm going to go with Shane.
And Kent.
Yeah, Shane. Shane has not had the upper hand this whole feud. He needs something, or else why would we take him seriously in any other feud moving forward? Like he had the Taker thing, right? And we can understand. You lost Taker at WrestleMania. Yeah. That's acceptable, but you have to win some to have momentum to move forward.
And you already lost to AJ.
And KO can lose and still come over as the biggest heel on the
brand. Absolutely. Absolutely.
A beatdown at the end of this is expected.
Yep. Don't think KO is going to take the loss lightly.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. Oh, and the Ascension and Sami Zayn are going to join Kevin Owens and make the greatest stable on Earth. I forgot that part of my prediction.
That's a stretch.
Nope. All red and black.
Quick, wow. Carrie, go to the next one before we talk.
All right. Let's move to the match that really has been booked really, really well. We have...
Has the match been booked well?
I think it has.
I think the feud itself... has booked this one.
God, Russ, you cut enough Carrie's 2 seconds of airtime.
I know,
there.
I'm sorry. I can't. When she said that, I was like,
All right, so the feud has booked the match well. We have the New Day versus the Usos for the tag team titles. Another Hell in a Cell match, and apparently, according to the ads, this is the final matchup between these two. Do you guys believe that? Do you think this is the final match?
No.
Sammy and KO think it is.
Yes. It's their final match for a couple of months, maybe. That's about the far as I'll go with that one.
But the tag team division, there's so many people that they could go against. I mean, gosh, they'll never see each other ever again.
No. Once this match is over with, New Day or the Usos will have to climb the ladder, which will take them at least 10 years because there's so many other tag teams.
Would anybody take me up on a $10 bet right now that the Usos and New Day will both be involved in a match at some point in Survivor Series? I don't think either of you are dumb enough to even take that bet. That's how far we're stretching this.
No, they're definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, it's not over.
But I'll say this. Story-wise, this was booked poorly. Poorly. Yes, okay. Usos and New Day have been cutting great promos, but this hasn't been built up or anything. They have let the last two matches, or three matches right now. Is this the fourth match coming up? The last three matches that these guys have had at pay-per-views have been phenomenal. So they're using that momentum to build this, and they've already sold me. So congratulations to them. I cannot wait for this match. I think this is going to be a fantastic match. This will be my match of the night, I think.
I echo that. Kent?
Going into expecting... Now WWE has mind-fucked us for the past few months into thinking that all tag team matches are going to be the best of the night because that's what they've been since, June?
June,
so? So now I'm sitting here like, okay, now we've all caught on. So now it's going to be fucking opposite day. The big question is, who is going to be the odd man out for New Day? That will speak volumes as to what kind of match we're going to have. Do you leave out the muscle? Do you leave out the experience? Or do you leave out the athleticism? I mean, Xavier usually gets left out of big matches, but this year they've put him in more frequently. I'm thinking we might get Big E and Xavier.
I was going to say, Big E and Xavier seems like the best choice to me. I'm sorry, you never leave Big E out unless he's injured or he's something's wrong. Big E needs to be in there all the time. He's awesome.
So you leave out the most experienced guy that's come closest to the world heavyweight.
Well, I'm not saying that's the best. I'm not saying he's the right choice, but for a match of this caliber, I think you really... It's really tough because Xavier can ragdoll. He's really good at it, and that's what this type of match just needs, a ragdoll. Big E is the muscle that can help ragdoll the Usos a little bit. And the Usos are really good at ragdolling too, actually.
Yeah, but you also need the endurance guy and the guy that's actually been there, done that.
That's true, and that's why it's tough. Not to mention, he's really good at like the spots. So that's a tough one. I kind of, now that I think about it, maybe Xavier gets left out.
Kofi and Big E are their best group. It's just that Xavier has been in a lot of these matches this year. So that's where it's like a little hard for me to swallow. I don't know. Wasn't Kofi hurt not too long ago? So maybe they hold him out because this is a somewhat brutal match just to be precautious.
Right. Do you think he's not going to have any impact on this match at all?
No, he's not going to TNA.
He's no Johnny Impact.
Here's the issue, though. We've gone a whole month plus, and the storyline has been what? Right. It's been exactly that. Nothing.
Nothing.
It's been, well, you guys had good matches before. We're going to stick you together again. And Big E, hide a microphone and some popcorn. And
which was hilarious.
It was hilarious, but I mean, this is not... This is what's the difference in the buildup between this and the Hype Bros in America beta?
Nothing.
Right.
Like, but there's the good matches before it that we can all... They're resting their laurels on those matches, and it's good enough for me, I guess. You're right. I wish I had some kind of story, but...
This match has potential to be one of the five best matches of the year.
Yes.
So does KO versus Shane, yep. But this one has more potential, I believe.
Because they've already proven that they can put a good match together.
If done right, this will probably be in my top five of the year. So
not a very strong year, so...
Yeah, it's been pretty weak sauce. So, with that in mind, I'm going to pick New Day to retain, because I believe Authors of Pain are due up soon. But
I will concur with that. Russ, what do you got?
Yeah, I think New Day retains. It's kind of weird.
Russ, are you wearing your New Day underwear?
I am wearing my New Day underwear.
That's good to know.
Yes. I thought that was funny, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was funny until I saw their prices.
That's not funny. That's not funny.
My unicorn will not be in those britches.
No. But yeah, I think they retain.
All right, so there you have it, listeners. Those are our picks for this weekend's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. All right, guys, now that we've recapped everything, let's look forward to the future in our segment. I'm not finished with you yet. I don't know about you guys, but I really hope I see some fashion files on Sunday. Kent, what are you looking forward to?
The crowd reacting to Kalisto next week. I will say that over Bray. I will say Kalisto crowd reaction.
Good. At least there's at least one thing. Oh my God. When Kerry took the fashion files, I go, well, maybe Kalisto will be funny. Then you say Kalisto. So, yes, I'll take Bray as Sister Abigail. I can't wait to see that one.
All right, so there is what we're looking forward to, and now it is game time. It's time, yes, everyone, to play our favorite game, Guess the Wrestler. So this week, Russ has picked the wrestler, and the rules are as follows. Well, Russ picks the wrestler, or one of us picks the wrestler. We have 9 questions and 2 guesses to figure out who that person's wrestler is. Russ, give us our 2 basically free space questions.
Free gimmies.
Answers.
All right. He is a current wrestler. And what was the other question? What was the other question? I said male, so there
is it a he or a she?
Yeah, because you already said he. So that's why I was like, wait a minute, did I answer the question already? Yes. He is a current wrestler.
What promotion?
SmackDown. I'll even give you WWE SmackDown.
Is he?
Oh, no, wait, no, I'm sorry. Raw. My bad, Raw.
Okay, is he a heel or a face, Mister? I don't know which brand he's on.
I would say currently face.
Titles held?
Yes. I'm getting to his championships. Holy crap. He has a ton of championships. But not all for the WWE. But yes, he has had them in WWE too.
Is this person... does this person wrestle for 205?
No. That did not make you happy.
Well, it took Kalisto out of the way. I feel like he probably won like a lot of belts outside of WWE, so.
Member of any factions?
Currently? No.
Is this person scheduled to be in a match at TLC? In your opinion?
No. You'll know why I picked this guy in a few moments. But no.
Catchphrases?
I wouldn't say it a catchphrase, a word.
Did this person ever wrestle for NXT?
Maybe for a very, very brief time, because I think yes. Yes, very brief. For a year, it looks like. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Wow, that was some real silence.
Did he hold a title in NXT?
I don't think so. Nope. Not in NXT.
I don't know if this question will be allowed, but I'm going to ask it, and you can tell me if it's not allowed.
Okay.
Most recent title held anywhere.
If I tell it to you, you will know exactly who this is.
Okay, well, that was the hope and the dream. So, with that being said...
Because as soon as I tell you his last belt he's owned, you're going to know exactly who it is.
Okay. Oh, shit.
So it was WWE was his last belt held. I'll give you that much.
Okay.
Because obviously he's still in WWE, so.
Is he an active wrestler currently?
Not very active. He is an active wrestler, but we don't get to see him very often.
Ah. Ah.
I'll give you that one. Right, was that nine?
Carrie's the odd one.
Yeah, so she should get one more question, right?
Yeah.
You can help her out with Kent, obviously, if you have a question.
Yeah, I can help her out with my plethora of questions here. Obviously, we're talking about somebody who's older. All right. When did their career start?
That is a good question. A long time ago. I will give you their debut. They started wrestling in 1994.
Shit. Okay.
I'll give you this. 1999 is when we would start knowing who this person was.
Right. He said that there... All right. I'm going to go out with my guess right now.
Okay.
Is it Matt?
No, it's not Matt Hardy.
Son of a taint.
Not a bad call, because I could see where you're going with that one.
You said one word phrase, you said 94 and then 99. I mean, all that timeline matches up.
Yep, it's perfectly timelined. And if I'll tell you right now, once I give, I'll tell you the title belt that they held last, and you're going to know exactly who it is.
Okay.
All right, so I'll let Carrie take a guess.
I don't know. I keep thinking Gold Dust, but I know I'm wrong.
Right. Can't be. Gold Dust was 89. Booker T's a possibility.
Booker T's not a current wrestler.
Son of a bitch.
All right. Ready? I'll give you the last title they held, and you're going to know it. WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. That's why I didn't want to tell you, because the second I tell you that, you're going to know who it is, especially if you know it's an older wrestler. So, who is it? Now you know.
I already took my guess.
Well, I did too. I was wrong.
Well, now I'll give you the second guess, so go ahead.
Rhino?
Yes, Rhino.
Yay!
His birthday is this weekend, so that's why I chose him.
Man, I thought I had it with Matt.
Well, see, that's
Matt
why
met all the criteria.
I know he did. That's why I was worried. I was like, okay, if I could possibly lead you off if I didn't tell you the championship, because I knew. You know what? If I was smarter, I would have said if I just said tag team championship, that wouldn't have led you off as much.
No, because I still would have been fucked. And I'm sitting here thinking, delete, delete, delete.
Right, Gore. Gore is the one I was thinking. That's the only thing we need from him.
Well played.
Yes, and it's his birthday is October 7th.
Oh, well done. All right, there you have it, everyone. Another round of Guess the Wrestler. Before we officially sign off for the evening, Kent, it's October, so I'm sure you have a ton of announcements for us.
Yeah, go to ninedeuce.com.
That's not just Slash Wrestling.
All right, so here's what we have coming up. Right now, we have our Hell in a Cell preview coming up, plus this week's blog, plus this podcast that you're listening to right now. Then we'll also have a Hell in a Cell review, which we're not going right on Sunday. Right. And that's on the wrestling front. Then there's going to be this week's American Horror Story, which has actually been improving. Each episode's gotten better since the last, and we're 5 episodes in, so it's a nice snowball that they're forming. Channel Zero, well, shit, that's going to be on soon. We just started doing the blogs for that, so that's going to be up. And then we got Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise blog, as well as a comparison blog between the old school It versus this year's release of It. On top of that, there's probably just a bunch of movies that I will have reviewed. And the website's still ongoing with construction and new updates. So just keep on top of that. That's the best. Just check out ninedeuce.com every day, and I assure you there's going to be updates every day this month. Guarantee it.
So fan, listen. Go to this website, ninedeuce.com.
Yes, everyone check out 9deuce.com for all your film, wrestling, and TV blogging needs. All right, and with that, we are going to say goodnight. So, for Kent, Russ, and myself, we wish you goodnight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Jinder Mahal is the greatest champion ever.
Good.
Sarcasm is strong in this one.
Good night, Shyamalan. We don't like your movies.